Good morning and welcome to Palm Sunday of the Passion of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Hosanna in the highest.
My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me?
All who see me deride me. They curl their lips, they toss their heads, taunt me, abuse me, sneering in hate.
My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me?
How the wicked beset me, they tear holes in my hands and feet. I can count every one of my bones.
My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me?
They divide up my clothing, they throw a dice to win my robe. Lord, do not leave me, come to my aid.
My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me?
I will tell of your name, Lord, and praise you where the people meet. Israel, revere him, give him your praise.
My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me?
When they were approaching Jerusalem, in sight of Bethphage and Bethany, close by the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go off to the village facing you, and as soon as you enter it, you will find a tethered colt that no one has yet ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'What are you doing?' say, 'The master needs it and will send it back here directly.'" They went off and found a colt tethered near a door in the open street. As they untied it, some men standing there said, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They gave the answer Jesus had told them, and the men let them go. Then they took the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on its back, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, others greenery which they had cut in the fields. And those who went in front and those who followed were all shouting, Hosanna! Blessings on him who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heavens.
I always used to love going to Wembley when Saints were playing. You make the little coloured top hats out of cardboard, and everybody would be meeting up on the way down as the coaches stopped at different places and the service stations. You sometimes caught a glimpse of the enemy. Could have been anybody from Hull or from Wigan or whatever. But when you got onto Wembley Way, there was a great excitement. Everyone seemed to mingle, come together, whether it was a final or a semi-final. You know that the atmosphere is electric. People waving scarves, shouting, singing, chanting in anticipation of a big celebration, and especially hoping their team will win. I'd like to imagine Jerusalem was a little like that every year at the time of the Passover. The Gospels give us a number of accounts of Jesus heading to Jerusalem. The first one we had this week on Feast of Saint Joseph, where he goes as a 12-year-old. But there has been other times too, apart from this, the last time. The word Paschal that we use in Easter celebrations, like the Paschal candle and so on, it comes from this word passing over. And if you recall the time of Moses, the Hebrew slaves were told to paint the blood of a lamb around their doorposts so that the final plague would pass over them. From that time onwards, they were free of their captors in Egypt, and each year this fact was celebrated. Many would flock to the temple in Jerusalem for the celebrations, and it would not be completely unusual for one particular large group of people, a crowd, to be coming together from one particular place into Jerusalem from an outlying district. And Jesus and his disciples were one of these. But what was unusual about Jesus when his crowd entered was the way that they entered the city. Firstly, he came from the direction of Bethany and the Mount of Olives, the place from which the Messiah was expected to enter. The Gospel also spends time describing the unusual mode of transport. Well, why would they do that? Did it matter if Jesus just walked in, was carried on the crowd's shoulders like a captain about to win the cup? Or what if he charged in on a Roman chariot like Ben-Hur? Each of these holds a transport message, and not the transports itself, but the way that someone would come into Jerusalem is trying to make a statement. So what was the statement that Jesus was making? And the response would be different, wouldn't it? For the Hebrew people at the time, the significance of the colt would have a deeper meaning than for us. We just think, well, it was a cheap way of getting about. A little bit different, the crowds could see him a little bit higher up on. But most would know that the ancient writings in Zechariah have a phrase that says, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey. Two other events also claim this royal status for Jesus. First, the disciples lay down their cloaks in a gesture of enthronement in the tradition of King David. I suppose our tradition is more like in the tradition of Sir Walter Raleigh and Queen Elizabeth. You get the idea. Others cut off palm branches and begin waving them as they chant Psalm 118, which is a special chant. It's a messianic proclamation which expects the return of a king like David. Today we take on with us the dried palms to make into crosses, probably. And they're also a reminder that Palm Sunday is not something from the Old Testament. Just as our Lord was welcomed into Jerusalem on a colt, we can welcome our King into our lives in the humble form of bread and wine at each Mass we attend, and in each Eucharist greet him as the one who saved us by the glory of the cross. When we look at the palm, it can remind us to celebrate the triumph of the Passion of Jesus, which we're going to start to begin this week, and encourage us to be like him who didn't come bragging on his disciples' shoulders or threatening on a horse and chariot, but was humble yet, even to accepting death on a cross. Holy Week begins then with the lowly but triumphant ride on a donkey, and ends when the stone to the empty tomb has been rolled away, revealing the true kingship of God. In between, we see a man of sorrows, a man of courage, a man of peace, a man of forgiveness, a servant, someone who is making his real life journey through real life stations of the cross, in complete trust that his Father will be with him always. At that time, when it comes to next weekend, we can join in and celebrate the victory, perhaps in the ancient hymn of Eastertide that goes, I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. He who gave for us his life, who for us endured the strife, is our Paschal Lamb today. We too sing for joy and say, Alleluia. And the next time the Alleluia rings out will be at the Easter Vigil.